Book of Laughter and Forgetting. What is litost? Litost is a Czech word with no exact translation into any other language. It designates a feeling as infinite as an open accordion, a feeling that is the synthesis of many others: grief, sympathy, remorse, and an indefinable longing. The first syllable, which is long and stressed, sounds like the wail of an abandoned dog. Under certain circumstances, however, it can have a very narrow meaning, a meaning as definite, precise, and sharp as a well-honed cutting edge. I have never found an equivalent in other languages for this sense of the word either, though I do not see how anyone can understand the human soul without it. Let me give an example. One day the student went swimming with his girlfriend. She was a top-notch athlete. He could barely keep afloat. He had trouble holding his breath underwater and was forced to thrash his way forward, jerking his head back and forth above the surface. The girl was crazy about him and tactfully kept to his speed. But as their swim was coming to an end, she felt the need to give her sporting instincts free rein and sprinted to the other shore. The student tried to pick up his tempo too, but swallowed many mouthfuls of water. He felt humiliated, exposed for the weakling he was. He felt the resentment, the special sorrow, which can only be called litost. He recalled his sickly childhood, no physical exercise, no friends, nothing but Mama's ever watchful eye, and sank into utter, all-encompassing despair. On their way back to the city, they took a shortcut through the fields. He did not say a word. He was wounded, crestfallen. He felt an irresistible desire to beat her. "What's wrong with you?" she asked him. And he went into a tirade about how the undertow on the other side of the river was very dangerous, and he told her not to swim over there, and she could have drowned. Then he slapped her face. The girl burst out crying, and when he saw the tears running down her face, he took pity on her and put his arms around her. And his litost melted into thin air. Or, take an instance from the student's childhood, the violin lessons that were forced upon him. He was not particularly gifted, and his teacher would stop him and point out his mistakes in a cold, unbearable voice. It humiliated him. He felt like crying. But instead of trying to play in tune and make fewer mistakes, he would make mistakes on purpose. As the teacher's voice became more and more unbearable, enraged, he would sink deeper and deeper into his bitterness, his litost. Well then, what is litost? Litost is a state of torment caused by a sudden insight into one's own miserable self. One of the standard remedies for personal misery is love. The recipient of an absolute love cannot be miserable. All his faults are redeemed by love's magic eyes, which make even uncoordinated thrashing and a head jerk back and forth above the water look charming. The absolute quality of love is actually a desire for absolute identification. We want the woman we love to swim as slowly as we do. We want her to have no past of her own, to look back on happily. But as soon as the illusion of absolute identity falls apart, the girl looks back happily on her past or picks up speed. Love turns into a permanent source of that great torment we call litost. Anyone with broad experience in the general imperfectibility of mankind is fairly well protected against its excesses. He accepts insights into his own miserable self as ordinary and uninteresting. Litost, in other words, is characteristic of immaturity. It is one of the ornaments of youth. Litost works like a two-stroke motor. First comes a feeling of torment, then the desire for revenge. The goal of revenge is to make one's partner look as miserable as oneself. The man can't swim, but the woman cries when slapped. It makes them feel equal and keeps their love alive. Since revenge can never reveal its true motivation, the student can't tell the girl he slapped her because she swam too fast. It must plead false ones. In other words, Lee Torst is unthinkable without a kind of passionate hypocrisy. The young man proclaims he was frantic at the thought of his girl drowning, and the child plays agonizingly off-key, feigning hopeless ineptitude. I was originally going to call this chapter Who is the Student? But even if now it deals with the emotion I call Lee Torst, it is still very much about the student as well. In fact, the student represents Lee Torst incarnate. No wonder the girl he was in love with finally left him. There is nothing particularly pleasant about having your face slapped for knowing how to swim. The butcher's wife from his hometown entered his life in the form of a giant-sized bandage ready-made for his wounds. She admired him, worshipped him. When he talked to her about Schopenhauer, she never tried to make her own independent personality felt by raising objections, as did the girlfriend of inglorious memory. And when she looked at him, he was so moved by her emotion, he seemed to see tears welling up in her eyes. We must also bear in mind that he had not made love since breaking up with his girlfriend.